Hello, and welcome to Hospitality Speaks Podcast, where we interview top leaders in the travel and leisure business. Join us as we explore the latest trends in the industry and discover what it takes to lead the pack. And now, please welcome your hosts, Ryan Reese and Tommy Botts.
Hi, hoteliers. I'm Tommy Botts, and welcome to Hospitality Speaks. I'm here today with my co-host, Ryan Reese.
Hey, everybody. We had a great time speaking with Jennifer Baldwin of Denahan Hospitality Group last time, and today we're welcoming another hospitality leader, Penn National Gaming Senior VP of Regional Operations, Aaron Chamberlain.
We really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you, Ms. Chamberlain, today. So let's start off with a little bit about yourself. First off, how did you break into the industry?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on. So I actually came into the industry in an unusual way. I had been, after I graduated from college, I worked as an HR consultant, and then I went back to business school full time. And I ended up actually interviewing with a company as I was looking for kind of just general management rotational programs. And so I ended up interviewing with Harrah's Entertainment. And I had never been, which is a primarily a casino company. And I'd never been in a casino or anything before, but I did an internship for the summer in between my first and second years of business school and really just kind of fell in love with the business and the people. And I ended up joining Harrah's Entertainment full time after I graduated from business school. And I stayed with them. The company then merged with Caesars Entertainment. It's now known today as Caesars Entertainment. And I stayed there for a long time and moved over to Penn National in September of 2019. So it was an intro actually through the casino business, something I knew nothing about, and just ended up falling in love with it. And here I am almost 20 years later.
Wow, that's great. So do you believe that your alma mater, Duke, shaped your career?
I do, actually. I think... when I went to, I had a business degree undergrad from UVA, and I ended up at Duke because I really loved a lot of the general management idea of like this kind of just kind of getting into a business and learning all aspects of it. I loved that was a really well-rounded program. So it clearly prepared me. I did a lot more in operations than I ever did as an undergraduate. So I kind of became really interested in that. And then I think through the networking and through this opportunity that it just gives you exposure, right? You go back to business school. I think this would be true of Duke or other business schools. You get exposed to lots of different companies and businesses and industries and things that maybe you hadn't ever considered as a career path for yourself before. And that's certainly what happened for me. So I credit that. And my first interview ever was with Tim, with the business was with Tim Wilmont. He came on property to interview. He ended up being the COO at Harrah's, and then he was the CEO at Penn National. So certainly had an impact on my career from that perspective as well.
If you were to pick like someone that who would be like a mentor to you or someone like that, who would that be?
Sure. I think one of the things about the hospitality business and the casino business too is, you know, it is a lot of people know each other, right? And it's kind of people move across different companies and things. So I've had a really good opportunity to work for lots of different people who helped me at various points in my career. So early in my career, I spent a lot of time in marketing, and I would say Jenny Holiday. I worked for her. She was a great mentor for me. She really taught me a lot about the business, a lot about leadership, a lot about myself, quite frankly. She has done a lot of interesting things in her career and is currently at the Wynn properties in Boston, actually, the Encore property at Boston. She was an early mentor for me. I had a great opportunity to work for a gentleman named Danita a couple times in my career. He did a lot. He actually took me and believed in me from moving into marketing, moving over into an operations job, and gave me my first assistant general manager job, which was a really big deal, and helped me see that I could be a general manager in this business. So I owe him a lot for really training me on, he always said, you know, you're not an assistant general manager, you're a general manager in training, right? So for really taking that long-term career view for me. And then today at Penn, I work with some really great folks and some people I knew from my Caesars days, Jennifer Weissman, our CEO, Jay Snowden, been really helpful. And my current boss, I did not know before, he had spent a lot of time with different companies. We just, our paths had never crossed, but his name is Todd George. And he's been really helping me look at the business from a totally different angle as well. So I've been fortunate to have a lot of folks look out for me throughout my career, and I still keep in touch with everybody. And it's been a really great experience for me to get to know some really, really smart people in this business.
Wow, that's great. So there was a lot of moving around. So what was it like to transition from a GM role at Caesars back to operations at Penn Gaming?
Yeah, so it's been, I've had a lot of different jobs in my career, and I've physically moved. My family and I've moved several times. And so you kind of build up, I think, a little bit of resiliency and you know, you learn something about yourself as you transition into these new, into new positions. But it was really interesting for me to move from Caesars to Penn National, because I had always been, up until this job with Penn, I had always been somebody who worked at the property, right? So every day I went into work at the property, or 6 days a week, I went into work at the property. And I was surrounded by people and by guests all the time. And so moving into this new role at Penn, it's a more corporate focused role. So I have several general managers who report up through me. And so being focused at that level has been very different for me. And it's been a new challenge for my career. It's kind of like figuring out how I can help the general managers and what I can do a little bit differently to make them successful has been kind of a really interesting, different kind of intellectual challenge, right? So I've never done that kind of role before. So it's been really fun to do that.
So what would you say is the most challenging part of your daily routine?
Good question. I think right now in COVID times, it's really been balancing safety and opening up the businesses. That's definitely been something that, you know, is top of mind for all of us. Everyone kind of wants to get back to normal, but we're not kind of there yet. So trying to balance that business with the safety of our team members and our guests has been really a definite challenge. And things change so quickly in COVID times. We're a heavily regulated industry. And so in addition to what we know we have to do to keep everybody safe, we also have a lot of different restrictions. So my current job, I have operations in multiple different states, and even within states, the restrictions are different, what you can do, what you can't do, what you can serve, what the cleaning regimens are, all those types of things. So being able to be really flexible and really nimble and be able to roll with the punches has been kind of the most challenging part of the daily routine right now. And, you know, making sure that, you know, we're managing people through this is really hard too. I mean, these are, you know, people are working really hard. And so we're asking a lot of people. So that's been a definite challenge.
Yeah, definitely. COVID's been hard on everyone. And I'm sure for businesses like the casinos, it's been hard. And so do some of the larger casinos have like limited capacities? Or obviously, I'm assuming they have to wear masks when they come in. Or like, what are some of the protocols? Are there dividers between each station? Or
absolutely. Absolutely. So, and like I said, it's different in every single place. So the properties I work with are primarily located in the Northeast, and the restrictions have been most severe in that part of the country. So most places we have very limited at this time, and it's changed a lot, but most places we have limited number of folks on table games, allowed on table games. Some places you have to have plexiglass even between the people playing as they're at the table games. Slot machines in most locations are 6 feet apart or separated by plexiglass. You have capacity restrictions. Generally, most of the places are at 50 to 75% capacity right now, someplace in that neighborhood. And then you have these, a lot of different things where, you know, there's mask requirements in certain locations, but not all. Typically our team members all wear masks, regardless of, you know, kind of the requirements, but, you know, and then you have these, some of these crazy ones, like in Pennsylvania, Right now, you can't buy alcohol without food. So you have people who come to the casino and want to have a beer. They also have to buy a hot dog or some other food or a bag of chips or something with their alcoholic beverage. So it's been like very different in every location. And it certainly makes the experience different for folks. You know, there's not the same live music because you don't have, you can't have entertainment. It's, you know, it feels a little bit different, but they, everyone's been managing through, and we've started to see that, you know, as vaccination rates are rising, people are feeling more comfortable, and also kind of the states are feeling a little bit better about opening up businesses a little bit more. So we've started to see that kind of peeling back in most of our locations.
Yeah. And so with March Madness happening now, have you, like, do some of your locations have like screens where you there you can display all the games and people come in? I remember there was a place in New York actually called ESPN Zone, and I used to go there, and they would just like display tons of games going on at once, and people would just like crowd around watching them. Is that what's like going on right now at some of these casinos or?
Yeah, absolutely. March Madness is actually one of my favorite times to work at a casino. It's really fun. Tons of people love to come out. And, you know, we've seen sports betting with really take off with the repeal of PAPSPA so several years ago. So, you know, more and more states have been legalizing sports betting. So we've been building these sports books at Penn National where, you know, where we're able in the states and the jurisdictions where it's been legalized. And we also recently became partners with Barstool Media Company. Barstool Sports is our Barstool Sportsbook is our sportsbook brand. And so we've been building out actually Barstool themed sportsbooks in several of our locations. And those have been really popular. So this past weekend, the guys from Barstool were actually at our Greektown property where we just built a brand new Barstool themed sports book, tons of screens. They're all watching the games. They're live streaming the games. Lots of people are there hanging out and having a great time. So that's become a really big event for the casino industry and hospitality industry overall. And now with sports betting in more legal in more states, it's becoming bigger and bigger everywhere. So people love to get out and just watch the games, the energy of it. You know, it's fun to be around other people, and March Madness is certainly something special, even if your team's not winning and you get to place a bet too, it can be a lot more fun as well. So, you know, that's been a really great thing for our business, and hopefully next year, knock on wood, we'll be back, you know, to full force, schedule for March Madness as well.
On the topic of Barstool, how did Penn Gaming and Barstool get involved with each other?
Well, I can't claim any credit for this, so I'm just going to retell a story that's been told to me. I think, you know, when you listen to our CEO, Barstool Jay Snowden, and our Barstool CEO, Erica Nardini, and then obviously Barstool's founder, Dave Portnoy, talk about this, you know, it became one of those things where Penn National was looking for a real media partner, that they wanted to have somebody who was like, interests were more aligned, right? So if you look out, there's a lot of gaming companies that have partnered with media companies, but a lot of those are very much sponsorship type deals, right? Or pretty much advertising. And so Penn National was looking to do something different, a little bit more integrated, and really kind of put something together that would kind of take a media company, all of our reach. So we're in, you know, by the end of Q2, we'll be in 20 different jurisdictions because we're acquiring a casino in Maryland. So, you know, you put that together with our brick and mortar and the internet reach of Barstool. And it was a pretty interesting combination to figure out how we could move into what we're calling this omni-channel approach, where people can play on their phones, they can play online, they can also come into our casinos. And so be kind of this mutually beneficial cycle. So the way the story goes is, you know, nobody was really that interested in talking to Barstool at the time. You know, I think Dave Portnoy is pretty, pretty public about saying there were, you know, literally zero other casino companies really approached him, and Penn really thought a little bit differently. And when they first met, the three of those guys first met, they had a really great first meeting. And the way they describe it, the chemistry was great. And they really saw how this could be a powerful connection. So honestly, it was Penn National approaching Barstool, and They say, you know, Jay says this all the time when he does interviews, he'll say, people say, you know, like, of course that was a great idea. He's like, at the time it was like kind of a crazy idea. Now it seems to make a lot of sense, but at the time it was pretty off the wall. And, you know, no other casino companies were looking at Barstool, and they really kind of came together on this vision of how we could work together and kind of bring the best of the two worlds and make it something, you know, even greater than the sum of the parts. So it's been a super fun and really rewarding experience so far.
Yeah. So like for me, and I'm sure a lot of people my age, we like found out about Portnoy and Barstool Sports through the blogs and everything, but also he had a big part of Barstool was like his pizza reviews. Have you heard of those? Like, he goes around to like different pizza places, you know, he gives like,
yes,
reviews.
Not only, yeah. Ryan, have I heard of them. I've actually seen a couple of them filmed. We were doing some site tours of the different casinos to introduce them and show them where Barstool casinos would be. I got to actually watch him do the One Bite Pizza reviews in a couple different locations while we were on tour. It was really fun. And people like go crazy. I mean, I'm sure you guys see this, but like, you know, he's just standing on the side of the street and one guy's, you know, has a camera and people know him right away. They go nuts and they're, you know, and the pizza places that he goes to afterwards, they're mobbed. Like, he really does a lot of great things for those businesses. So it's been that one. That's been a really cool brand. I think a lot of people know, I didn't realize it, but so many people knew him from the pizza reviews, I think.
So circling back on like kind of just like being a GM and being a GM at Caesars, how would you say like the difference between being a GM of a hotel with a casino or one without a casino?
Well, clearly I'm partial to the ones with a casino because they're a lot more fun. I never worked in the hotel business straight without a casino, quite frankly. But I have worked at a couple of different places with different sized hotels. So, you know, I think for the casino business hotel, it's very largely, especially the smaller properties that are in like kind of smaller regional locations. Like, let's say there's 150 hotel rooms attached to a casino in Charlestown, West Virginia. That hotel is primarily there for the casino player, right? So running that property is very different because it's almost always comped for a casino guest. You're making sure people are taken care of because their real value to you is getting them to the casino floor, right? And like, that's really what they're there for. And that's kind of the point of their trip, is to come visit the casino, and the hotel room is, you know, kind of ancillary to that, if you will. But then in other destination markets, you know, you actually run the casino and, you know, the hotel serves that, but at Planet Hollywood, for example, or as the GM, we had a very small casino floor in 2,500 hotel rooms. And that's a lot of hotel rooms, right? And a lot of people are coming to Vegas for gambling is just a side note of what they're doing. They're maybe coming for March Madness, like we talked about, or they're coming for food and entertainment and shows or the pool, you know, those types of things. So that customer is very different. So then you're worried about, you know, thinking about how you're getting the right people in the rooms. And in those business models, what you're doing is you're really focusing a lot on what is the right number of casino guests, i.e. the comp player, and like, what's the cash player, you know, person coming in. So you spend a lot of time with hotel yield, obviously one, because it's a bigger casino or a bigger hotel. But you spend a lot more time because it's a different balancing act where you certainly would have demand to fill it with casino players, but you want to get that cash business in there too, because they're also paying cash in your restaurants and they're, you know, paying cash at the pool and they're doing other things too. So you have a lot more kind of balancing act to do in a casino hotel like that in, call it Las Vegas or Black Hawk, Colorado, or some other place that's more of a destination where people are going for a vacation as well as the casino. So that's probably one of the big differences, is really just how to understand that and then catering to your casino guest, right? So I think, you know, is you're a hotel, you're without a casino, you certainly will have top guests and VIPs and high, you know, status members who stay with you. It's a little bit of a different angle at the casino business. It's similar, but really what, you know, they're being, you know, based on, you know, you're evaluated on is really happening in the casino part of the business. So it's just a little bit different that way.
Yeah, so clearly the casino is a huge part of the business, but is that the most profitable part of the of Penn Gaming, or is there a different part of Penn Gaming that you would say is the most profitable?
Yeah, so clearly where we make the vast majority of our money is on the gaming arm of the business. Now, I will tell you, you know, I think one of the things that, and that's the most profitable. One of the things that's really interesting, though, is that, you know, I think when you look at, like, look at Las Vegas versus Atlantic City. So when I started in Atlantic City in 2005, Las Vegas and the Strip and the casinos in Atlantic City, they actually did the same amount of money in gaming revenue. But the difference was I think it was like $5 billion in gaming revenue in those days. And then the difference was, though, Atlantic City did about $1 billion in non-gaming, so food and shows and entertainment and all that stuff, hotel rooms, and Las Vegas did five. And that's just started to keep growing and growing. So what you see is the casino is definitely, you know, the biggest driver. It's kind of the profit engine, but there are a lot of opportunities in non-gaming as well. And so I think at Penn Gaming, that's one of the things that my boss, as I said before, has really been challenging us to think about how you drive revenue through differentiated food and beverage product, right? Like people really, as COVID has shown, we all want to go back out to eat again and, you know, want to go to shows, right? So how do you partner? And so those streams of revenue can be very profitable as well. But outside of Las Vegas, they haven't taken as strong a hold yet. We're working on some of that to keep diversifying and make some more money outside of just the gaming part of the business as well.
How do you cater to high rollers, and what are some of, are there any like crazy, ridiculous requests that you've ever got?
Yes. I think sometimes it's like those famous Eminem stories of like riders of like, you know, like the Rolling Stones or whatever. I think it's just like they put things in there to see if they're, you're still paying attention. But we definitely get some crazy requests. But the vast majority of people are just great people, and this is their entertainment of choice, and they become like family. They visit, you know, frequently. Let's say they come visit once a month or something. You start to get to know people and you get to know what they like. And so you, like, you know, any good hospitality person, you anticipate their needs. And so maybe you have their favorite room ready for them, or you have, you know, an amenity in their room that you know they really value for whatever reason. So generally speaking, it's, you know, it's very similar to the hotel business in general, where you know your best guests and you want to make sure that, you know, they like the Wall Street Journal. That's what you have available for them. Those types of things are, you know, important to our guests. So casino guests are no different. They do tend to be a little bit crazier sometimes. So like, you know, you'll get very specific requests of what they'll have in their rooms, or some of the high rollers will ask for some funny things. I wouldn't want to disclose any secrets, but there are some good stories I'll tell you off the record. They, you know, it's generally pretty normal stuff. But, you know, when people come to Vegas, I will say they do tend to take it up a notch. so they are definitely, the requests get a little funnier in Las Vegas many times.
So again, on the subject of COVID, we're seeing a lot of people taking their stimulus checks and actually gambling. Are you seeing that in your casinos, and is that helping with the rebound from sales due to Corona?
Yeah, I think, you know, what we've seen is just, you know, when people have extra money in their pocket, you know, we're discretionary spend. So people feel, you know, it's entertainment. And so I think that makes people feel more like they have a little bit of discretionary money. Then that's been, you know, helpful for all businesses like ours. That's always good, right? When consumer confidence is higher, that's always been, you know, better for entertainment type of business. Plus there's just not that much else that's, you know, there's a lot of things that are restricted right now. And so we've actually seen a younger demographic coming into the casino. So 21 to 35 that we hadn't seen, you know, as frequently, outside of markets like Vegas, coming in, because there's not concerts out there. There's not bars. There's not, you know, big, you know, clubs open, et cetera. So people to get out of the house were open. And so we've benefited from that, certainly. And that's something that we're working on, is how do we kind of retain those guests into the future? But, you know,
we've also seen, it's been really interesting to watch in our different, because we're in so many different markets, as the vaccination rates are rising in those markets, we've also seen an uptick in visitation. And our players tell us, you know, a lot of our players tell us very directly, like they're vaccinated. If once they have their, you know, full vaccination, they feel much more comfortable going out to casino, you know, and visiting, and they just are starting to remake those trips. So if we can figure out how to get more of the people who hadn't been comfortable coming back, getting them vaccinated and coming back, and we can hold on to a good part of that 21 to 35 year old business, I think it's really great news for the casino business long term. Yeah, right now, food and beverage is probably the biggest outlier in the states that I work with. Again, it's been pretty restricted in the Northeast. And so that's been a little bit tougher, primarily due to restrictions. And I think people maybe not quite feeling totally comfortable dining indoors as, you know, freely. Plus, then we have to have distancing. So it's hard, you know, you're already running a relatively thinner margin in those businesses. And so when you have fewer people in, but you have to have the, you know, cooks and all that kind of stuff. So that business has been a little bit slower to come back. Table games has also been a little bit trickier because of the restrictions, right? So usually you would have 5 to maybe sometimes even 7 people on a table. And most of the, you know, jurisdictions are at 3, maybe 4 people. So the demand is there. It's just been tough to get people, you know, at tables because you just don't have the spots due to the social distancing requirements. So those have probably been the two toughest ones. We have a property, the Tropicana, on the Las Vegas Strip. And that has obviously been impacted disproportionately as well, just by, you know, general travel being depressed. It's harder to get folks on planes these days. So the number of hotel rooms there is bigger, and the, you know, a lot of fly-in business, that's been tougher. So I think those companies that have more Las Vegas Strip presence, that's been a little more challenging. We've also been able to benefit because with the Barstool deal and our online gaming in several jurisdictions like Pennsylvania, we actually have online gaming. So we can send people to play with us. They can still earn all their points and do all that stuff, and they can play online. So that's been kind of an interesting opportunity as well, like to get people to move online and still stay in the Penn family.
Well, on the topic of table games, how do you make sure that the cards are not like spreading corona? Because we know that it spreads through surfaces. How do you kind of clean them and make sure that's like safe?
Yeah, every place has been a little bit different. But essentially, we take the cards and we change them out very, very frequently. There's, you know, hand sanitizer all over the place. And guests are encouraged to do that. And in fact, in some jurisdictions, like West Virginia just changed it, but they weren't even allowing people to handle the cards. That was one way that we did that as well. So you didn't even touch the cards as a player, just the dealer did. So generally, it's just like we change out the decks really frequently, and then to kind of move that through and ask people to essentially, you know, use a lot of hand sanitizer. And also people are generally wearing masks, so hopefully they're not, you know, touching their face or something afterwards as well. But the chips too, there was a lot of demand this time last year for chip cleaning services. Generally, you would actually sometimes even have like this big truck drives up to the casino and does like a deep clean of your casino chips. Well, now we bought lots of smaller machines, so each casino has those all the time, and they're like using you know, special cleaner to get that done more frequently. So really trying to disinfect the hotel rooms a lot. You know, it changed some of the stuff that we did too. Like, I'm sure you've talked to other people, like, they, you know, we don't do turn down service now. We're not cleaning the rooms unless it's a changeover, right? But if you're staying for multiple nights, they don't go in the room, to try and minimize that you know, kind of extra level of, you know, surface contamination opportunity, right? So trying to be smart about things like that. It is challenging on the table games, and you just have to be vigilant about it. That's all.
Yeah, it definitely seems that all aspects of Penn Gaming, the hotels, the casinos, are doing a great job of cleaning and all the COVID protocols. It, for sure, it's a challenge, but for you, what would you say is the most rewarding part of your job?
Yeah. I love this job. I mean, I think what's great about the hospitality business, I tell people when I go back and do recruiting and folks who are trying to figure out, like, you know, what they're interested in, The thing that I love about the business is that it is this interesting combination of people and strategy, right? So there's a lot of jobs where you could sit at a desk and kind of work on projects or strategic stuff all the time. And there's probably a lot of jobs where, you know, you could be out amongst folks like retail or something like that. But I really love this combination where we have these interesting challenges to solve and these huge businesses to run. And yet we still have great customers. We have great team members. And like, that's a huge part of my job is interacting with folks. And that to me is like that balance of both of those things. Like I have the opportunity to do, like, you work on a hard project up in your office, particularly when you're at the property, you walk downstairs on the floor and you talk to all your team members and you're really energized and people are there and they're having a great time. And it just is like, oh gosh, this is fun. I get to make people's memories and like they're remembering this as a great day or a great trip to Vegas or a great wherever. And so that's super fun. But ultimately the most rewarding part for me is working with our team members. There's just the one thing about the hospitality business that I don't think we talk about enough is that it has really great opportunities for tons of people with different kinds of skill sets. You don't have to have an MBA or you don't have to, you know, you, if you work hard and, you know, you love what you do, there's a ton of opportunity to keep earning promotions. And so I've just been so fortunate to have so many great people I've worked with and just to watch them like start off as a table games dealer and then become a dual rate supervisor and then become a full supervisor and then become a manager and then become a, like, just to watch progressions of careers and see how people have made new lives for themselves and their families through this business. That's by far the most rewarding part for me. And that's why I love the hospitality business, because it really is, it's just a great equalizer for a lot of folks. And, you know, you get your foot in the door and you work hard, you can do a lot of great things in this business.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I really hope that when COVID all gets solved and everyone's vaccinated, then we'll be the legal age of being able to gamble. So maybe we can visit one of these casinos. So we at Hospitality Speaks wish you and your staff at Penn Gaming the best of luck for the rest of the pandemic, and hopefully it'll end soon, and tune in next time.